Pew Bible 1207, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through chapter 2, verse 2 this morning. It is good to be back with you this morning. You know, I missed you, but I didn't know how much I missed you until I got up here and I saw you all and looked out at some faces I haven't seen in a while. It's good to see some folks back to church that haven't been here in a while, and some that have been sick, and some that have lived far away, and it's just good to see your faces. Thank you for sending us and praying for us while we were away at the conference last week. Our kids had a good visit with their grandparents, and we had a good conference in Chattanooga, which I found out Chattanooga is an old Indian word for fantastic food. Not really, but we had a really good food down in the South while we were there. Fried green tomatoes and barbecue and that sort of thing. It was a lot of fun. We got back in time to hunker down for Hurricane Sandy with everyone else, thankful that it was just a blip for us, and prayerful for those who are still impacted by it. The conference was really good. It was on guilt and shame. How'd you like to go to a conference on guilt and shame? But it's really guilt and shame in the gospel, and how the gospel of Jesus deals with and helps us with both of those separate but related things. I think we'll get maybe a taste of that in today's message. And thank you for praying for Heather. Keith mentioned she is 4 weeks now without a voice, 4 weeks of low-grade fevers, 4 weeks of fatigue and undiagnosed pains and weaknesses. So last week's getaway was really important for getting a good rest. We're going to doctors and specialists and hospital tests to get at the bottom of this, and so we'd appreciate your continued prayers for her. But we know God is good and that He has blessed us abundantly. So thanks for praying. Have you found 1 John? In October, we started a new series on what we are calling Essential Christianity. Essential Christianity. What is the essence of Christianity? What is essential to know to be a Christian? How do you know if you are a Christian? What is the very essence of Christianity? We said we'd find that in John's first letter, the letter we call 1 John. The first week, a letter arrived from John. And we opened it up and we read the whole thing from beginning to end. The second week, 2 weeks ago, we found out more about what the letter was about. It was about the Word of Life. The Word of Life. The Word, this message that gives life to those who believe it. The Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word that was heard and seen and touched, ears and eyes and fingers. The Word that created fellowship between God and fellowship between us. John said in verses 1 through 4 that he wrote this letter to bring complete joy to himself and to us, his readers. And now in today's passage, John is going to tell us his central message from which all of the rest of the book will flow. And it is a message about the essence of God, what God is, what God is like, what God is essentially. And here it is, God is light. God is light. Let's read chapter 1, verses 5 through chapter 2, verse 2. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you, God is light. Light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His Word has no place in our lives. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Would you pray with me? Lord, these are glorious sentences, and I cannot do them justice. In some ways, it would be wiser for me to just read them over and over again and then just shut my mouth. And yet you have called us to preach the Word, to read it and then give the plain sense of it and to apply it to our lives. So I pray, Father, for your enabling to speak these words, glorious, penetrating words to the help of your people. For your grace to rest upon us and for you to get the glory. That's what we pray. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. God is light. 1 John 1:5. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. That's one of those verses of Holy Scripture that everyone should have memorized. This is the message that we have heard from Him and declare to you. Remember, He's heard it, now He's declaring it. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. That verse gets at the heart, the essence of Christianity. Christians believe in a God who is light. God is light. In fact, God is so full of the radiance of glory and holiness that in Him there is no darkness at all, no darkness whatsoever. We sing, there is no shadow of turning with Thee. We sing, holy, holy, holy. We sing it better than we can say it. There is no darkness in Him at all. He doesn't do anything wrong. He isn't tainted by sin in the slightest, not a fraction. He is the brightest light, and there isn't any darkness in Him. We cannot really imagine how holy God is or how radiant He is in His glory. God is light. Now that is some of the best news in all of the world. Imagine, for just a second, but don't dwell on it too long, imagine if God was not light. God was, but He was not light. Imagine if, for example, God was half light and half darkness. Now that's what a lot of people think about God, that He's yin and yang, that He's both good and bad. He's got the force and the dark side of the force. No. That's not what God is. God is light. He's 100% light. In Him there is no darkness at all. Not 1%. Not 0.01%. Not 0.001%. We can't really grasp this, but God is light. And in Him there is no darkness whatsoever. That must affect how we live, who we are. If we belong to God who is light with no darkness, that will have necessary effects upon us. That's where John goes with this. He actually says in five if statements, if this, then this, five ifs that flow out of this glorious statement of God's perfect radiance. Three are negative ifs, false claims. And two are glorious ifs of relating to God in the right way and the glorious benefits that come our way. Verse 6. Here's the first if. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. You see what he's saying? God is light. So if we claim to know God, we will walk in the light. But some people claim to know God and walk in the darkness. They live lives of unholiness. They habitually live in sin. They claim to know God, but their life does not show it. John says that people like that are liars and do not live by the truth. We would say they are hypocrites or fakes, not real Christians. Now this is a warning to each of us. Before you start thinking about those people you know who claim to know God but walk in the darkness, think about yourself. If we claim to have fellowship, that it's a relationship with God, but walk in the darkness, then we are not for real. Now, that's not that habitual sinning would cause us to lose our realness, to lose our salvation, but to reveal that the truth was never really in us. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. That word fellowship is really important to John. He mentioned it back up there in verse 3. He said, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We have a relationship with God. That's fellowship. And if we say we've got it, but we walk in the darkness, we're lying. Verse 7. But if, second if, see it? If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. We're going to make 3 points of application this morning, and this is the first one. If God is light, and He is, then we should, number one, walk in the light. Walk in the light. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. Now, what does that mean, walk in the light? Well, partially, it must mean to walk in holiness. To be saying no to temptation. To do what is right and upright, to live wisely and not like we used to live before we knew Jesus, to walk in bright righteousness. But I think a big part of the key to understanding this walking in the light is the little phrase that comes after it, as He is in the light. As He is in the light. Walk in the light as He is in the light. That is, it's about our relationship with Him. If we are close to God, we're close to the Lord, we'll be walking in the light. You ever been on a city street where there's street lights and they're separated far enough that it's light here, then you kind of go into the darkness a little bit, and then it's light there? You know what I'm talking about? Okay. The Lord is walking with us down that street, and He's kind of right there in the center with those lights. If we're walking with Him, we'll be walking in the light. If we're distant from Him, we'll be playing with the shadows. So are you close to the Lord right now? Do you want to know how to say no to temptation? A big part of it are these phrases, walk in the light as He is in the light. Here's another illustration. Are you driving down the middle of the road with the Lord right now? I've got a friend who talks about riding on the rumble strips. Boom, 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 boom. Okay? Flirting with the darkness, okay? Lights on the main road, okay? You get over to the edge. Boom, 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 boom. Coming close to the shadow. That's not where God wants you. He wants you driving down the middle of the road where He is. That's where the light is good. That's where you need to cruise. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, John says, we have fellowship with one another. Not just with God, but with one another. Sin separates us, holiness brings us together. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. Now, we're getting to the other side of the equation. There are some people who claim to be Christians, but they live lives of habitual, unconfessed, unrepentant sin. On this side. But John says there's other people on the other side who claim to not sin at all. John's heard that good one too. Look at verse 8. If, there's a third if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. On the other side. Christians still sin. I probably don't have to tell you that, but here it is. We are called to walk in the light, yes, but we don't do it perfectly. We all stumble, all of us. Often we blow it. We sing, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Right? We sing it better than we say it. There are no perfect Christians. And those who claim to be, John says, are deceiving themselves and the truth is not in them. Do you remember a few years ago I taught you this phrase in Latin? Anybody remember our last Latin lesson? Can anybody pronounce these words and tell us what they mean? Anybody want to take a stab? Quiet group this morning. Simul justus et peccator. You don't know. That's probably as good as it gets. Simul means simultaneously. Justus means righteous. Et means and. And peccator, sinner. That's right. This was one of Martin Luther's favorite descriptions of Christians. Last week was Reformation Sunday when we celebrate the rediscovery of the gospel during the time of the Protestant Reformation. Luther said that Christians were simultaneously righteous and sinner. Righteous and sinful. Saints and sinners at the same time in the same person. Christians are simultaneously righteous and sinful. There are no Christians who are yet perfect this side of eternity. We all live in the tension between the already and the not yet. Are you saved? Yeah. Are you being saved? Yeah. Will you be saved? Yeah. We live in the tension between the already and the not yet. Already saved and perfect in the righteousness of Christ, and yet not yet perfected and still getting caught by temptation and sin. Simul justus et peccator. Do you feel it? If you claim to be sinless, you're lying to yourself. We all blow it. So what do we do? What do we do? We confess our sins. Verse 9. Here is one of the greatest verses in the Bible and should be memorized by every Christian. If, there's another if, fourth if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Point number two. If God is light, and He is, then we should confess our sins. Confess our sins. I think that's at least part of what it means to walk in the light. Because God doesn't expect us to be perfect. He expects us to confess. What does it mean to confess? It isn't just to feel bad about being bad. That isn't confession. Confession means to completely agree with God about our sins. It means to tell God that we have sinned, to name it, to own it, to agree that it was wrong and an offense against Him. Confession means to completely agree with God about our sins. Now I say completely to stress that it isn't, well, yeah, I did it, but the devil made me do it. Or, she made me do it, like Adam in the garden. The woman you gave me, Lord, she made me do it. Or, Lord, I kind of feel bad about that thing I've done, but if you knew the circumstances, you'd have done it too. I was so stressed out, I had to. That's not completely agree. Completely agreeing is, Lord, what I've done here was wrong. I shouldn't have done it. It was against Your law. It wasn't walking in the light, and I wasn't glorifying You when I did it. It wasn't sourced in love for You, and I'm sorry. So completely agreeing includes your emotions. It's not just feeling bad about being bad, but it's not less than feeling bad about being bad. True confession includes agreeing with your whole heart that what you did was sin. I don't think that we talk about confession enough in the church. I don't know about you, but I'm often tempted to just say every once in a while, oh yeah, and Lord, forgive me for the things I do that are bad. Be a lot more helpful to start listing them. Even better would be to confess quickly, to confess as soon as conviction arises, to turn around and agree with God as quick as you can. That's the goal. Not sinless perfection, but short accounts and growth. Confess your sins. Not just at night in general terms, but specifics and as soon as conviction hits. Confess your sins. And here's the good news, verse 9. If we confess our sins, what's it say? God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I'll bet all of us need to hear that this morning. We don't have to live in guilt and shame and guilt and condemnation because God forgives. And more than that, God purifies. He makes us righteous. He cleanses us from our sins and sets us on a new path. Isn't that good news? Here's how to recover when we blow it. Confession. because God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. The Bible is full of hope for sinners like you and me. It does not pretend that we've been or what we've done is good. What we've been or what we've done is good. It doesn't pretend. We have to say that it was and is bad. That's confession. But when we do, we can experience the forgiveness of God and purification for our sins. We don't have to live out of fellowship with God. We can live in fellowship with God. Let me say that again. You don't have to live out of fellowship with God. Do you ever feel like God's far away? He's so mad at you. You're just full of shame and guilt. You don't have to live far away from God. Confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and purify you from all unrighteousness. We have to understand that sin does not destroy a Christian's relationship with God, but it does hamper our fellowship with God. If one of my sons disobeys me, he's still my son. But a cloud has passed between us. Our fellowship has been hindered. So there needs to be forgiveness and confession and forgiveness for that full fellowship to be restored. Or same thing if I sin against my son. It's the same with God. Christians blow it. But God invites us to confess our sins and then promises to forgive and to purify us from all unrighteousness. Now let me ask you a question. How can He do that? Well, the Bible says He must do that. It says He's faithful to do it. That means He has promised forgiveness and God always keeps His promises. Friend, are you worried that God doesn't really forgive you? Then maybe He'll bring up your sin again and thrust it into your face. He won't. The Bible says He's faithful to forgive. And more than that, it says He would be unjust to not forgive. What's that mean? Why does it say faithful and just to forgive? Why is it just and right and holy for God to forgive? That doesn't, on the face of it, that doesn't make sense. It seems like it would be just for God to punish. And it would. The just punishment for our sins is God's wrath. God should bring wrath and punishment and condemnation for our sins, not forgiveness. But here it says, no, God is just to forgive. How is that just? I hope you know the answer. Let's keep reading, verse 10. If, there's the fifth if we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives. God has said that we're all sinners. No one consistently does what is right, and we're saying He's a liar if we say that we have not sinned. Chapter 2, verse 1. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. He's not advocating sinning, just because God forgives. But if anybody does sin, simul justus est peccator, we know we will sin. We have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. He's talking about Jesus and the cross. Jesus Christ died for our sins. The righteous one. The man in whom there was no darkness at all took on our darkness and then was crucified for it. Jesus bore the punishment that we deserved. He became, verse 2, the atoning sacrifice. Hilasterion is the Greek word. The big English word we normally use for that is propitiation for our sins. Or, like we just sang it, we sing it better than we say it, the Father's wrath completely satisfied. Jesus died for our sins. Christians are those, here's the essence of Christianity. Christians are those who put all their faith and all their trust in what Jesus did for them on the cross. And so now Jesus has become our advocate. Do you see that word advocate? Our defense attorney? Verse 1, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. That's what makes it just for Him to forgive. Because that sin has already been paid for. for. It would be unjust to not forgive. That sin has already been paid for. You see, no, that's why we don't do penance. As I understand it, penance is taking on a penalty or a punishment to help atone for a sin. At least, that's how it seems to be practiced. But our sin has already been paid for. Stamped paid in full. When Jesus said, "It is finished," it was finished. That's what makes it just for Him to forgive. That's why John said back up in verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. That's what this cup stands for. The cross is so powerful. Sin is powerful. We almost always underestimate the power of sin. We talk about sin like it was a small thing, a thin thing. No, sin is powerful. It's ugly. And it grabs a hold of us. And it has determined so much of what goes on in our world and in us. But the cross is so much more powerful. The essence of Christianity is that sin is terrible, but the Savior is greater than our sin. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world, including all those people living off the branches of the Amazon. Anyone, anywhere, who puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and His atoning sacrifice can be forgiven. The Father's wrath completely satisfied. No more condemnation because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Here's point three. So applicable for November, Thanksgiving season, and Communion Sunday. If God is light, and there is no darkness in Him, thank Jesus for His cross. Because we would have no hope without it. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your King and your Rescuer, I invite you to do so today. He is the atoning sacrifice, the propitiation for all who believe. He invites you to turn from your sins, to repent, and to put your trust in Him and Him alone and what He did for you on the cross. And here's the promise. You will be forgiven. It's not an if or a maybe. Maybe if He feels like it today. No, there is no darkness in Him at all. He is faithful and just and will forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And you can begin to walk in the light. I invite you to do so right now. And all of us who have need to thank Jesus every single day. Your blood has washed away my sin. Jesus, thank You. The Father's wrath completely satisfied. Jesus, thank You. Once Your enemy and now seated at this table. Jesus, thank You. If you've never turned and come to trust in Jesus, today could be your day of salvation. If He's dealing with you right now, don't ignore Him. Conviction is fleeting. Don't ignore it. Turn from your sins and put your faith in Jesus Christ. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. And that includes you and me. Even you can say, Jesus, thank You today. Would you pray with me? While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, just take a second to take stock of your own heart. Are you living in guilt and shame and condemnation? Do you feel unforgiven and don't know Jesus as your Savior and your Lord? I invite you right now in your heart to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord, to turn from your sin in your heart, and trust in what Jesus has done for you on the cross, because His blood is 100% light. There's no darkness in His blood. And it will cleanse you. It will purify you from all unrighteousness if you will trust in Him. Heavenly Father, thank You for sending Jesus to die for our sins. What a glorious gospel that is. What a glorious message that is. We need a God who is 100% light. In Him there is no darkness at all. And yet, there is darkness in us. That's scary. We need a Savior. And that's what You sent. You sent the Righteous One to take our place. And so His blood purifies us from all sin. Help us, Lord, to confess our sins for the first time or for the 1,000,000th time right now. And to receive from You forgiveness. That glorious gift that we do not deserve but we so desperately need because of what Jesus did for us. Thank You for His blood. Jesus, thank You. Thank You for being the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not just for ours, but for anyone throughout the whole world that would turn and trust in You. Help us, Lord, to take that message to the highways and byways of the world, to the four corners, with the wind, on wings of hope, and airplanes and boats, and across the neighborhood fence to the East Coast, at work, at school, with our family, with our neighbor. He is the atoning sacrifice. The Righteous One. Just what we needed. Thank You. We pray in His name. Amen.